It is a pleasure for me to be here this morning, Mr. Speaker. Let me first of all commend the persons who prepared the budget. Sometimes we take it for granted, we get the documents, but they are very hard, very much hardworking persons in the Ministry of Finance and throughout the public service who work very hard to prepare this budget to have us here. So I want to thank them and thank everyone who in some way contributed to this. I also want to again welcome the members of the House. You know, it's good to be here with them and to again welcome you, Mr. Speaker. I want to use the opportunity to congratulate my good friend, the Prime Minister of Dominica, on his victory at the polls. I think Prime Minister Skerrit, a good friend of Grenada and a good regionalist. He's a man who has always stood for regionalism. And I'm sure my friend, the Foreign Minister, will join me in that having worked with Prime Minister Skerrit for some time, he has contributed immensely to the development of the region, and I want to congratulate him on his victory again at the polls. Mr. Speaker, just in terms of how I will proceed, I will outline before I proceed with the specific areas in foreign affairs and agriculture and in labor and the town of St. George. I will just make some overarching comments on both the theme and the approach. Very brief comments. First of all, let me commend the Prime Minister, my dear friend Deacon Mitchell. Prime Minister Mitchell, let me congratulate you on a well-presented budget. Let me commend all of the presenters who participated so far. This budget is your promise. Your MP for Carrick, who just made a tight guarantee that at the end of the year, you will come back here and say that you've had 100% success. So we'll see what happens at the end of the year, but that's your promise to the people of Grenada that you just made. And you've said what your vision is, what you will do, where you will get the money from. You're also guaranteeing the people that you will find all this money to spend in the place that you said you will spend it. And as I said, we just got a guarantee of that. And I must commend you on some of the promises. I commend that you have some good ideas, but the proof of the pudding will be in the eating. Let's see when the rubber hits the road what we come up with. I will not preempt you by saying you will or will not. I have my own experiences being in the House for the last 20 years. You will have your experience maybe 5 years from now. We will get a report from you in 1 year as to how much you have achieved. That scorecard will come. But just to say, the theme talks about transformation, and every time I hear the word transformation used, I have a picture in my mind of something that transforms, and it's an excellent endeavor. The problem is that sometimes when we speak of it, it seems as though every single event in the day is transformation. If that were true, transformation is not an event. It's a process. It takes time. You don't see transformation tomorrow. I don't buy a fridge for a constituent and expect that I will see the transformation in a day. So not everything you do is transformation. Everything you do collectively over time would lead to transformation. So many things have been done in the town of St. George. We built small roads, so I guess every day I transform the town of St. George. I help people every day, so every day I transform. I think that is, you know, in a sense, making slight of the word transformation. Let us not lead our people down that path. Let us not lead people down the path that you do something today and it's transformed the country. No. Let us work together. The other thing I want to urge you is to be wise. Experience brings wisdom. You can argue against that, but I believe that each generation plays its part in our development. And I'm speaking here not, you know, I am known over the years for trying as much as possible to be non-tribal, I will continue along that path till the day I die. Your season, this is your season. Plant your seeds because it's your season. But do not tear down all of the fruit trees that the other farmer has planted in the previous season. Plant your seeds, but remember others in previous generations have planted seeds and have borne fruit. As I listened to the budget presentation, there were many examples of this. I don't want to spend much time on that. Several times it appeared he was suggesting that all previous governments have done nothing, including your own previous governments. I know at times you tried to stop it on a 10-year line. No, you have denigrated the contributions of every government that has come before you. In fact, you suggested that this government only did two things, a port and an airport. At least not this government, but those were the only two transformative things that was said. But the member for Karikou just gave us a whole heap of transformative things that I can say I do every day. That is not what we mean by transformation. I'm sure the Prime Minister does not mean that when he talks about transformation. He means big things and small things that lead to transformative changes in our society. You can be as critical as you wish. Your role and our role is to be critical of each other and give praise when each other deserves it. You are entitled to be as critical as you wish, but pay tribute to the ancestors. Please pay tribute to the ancestors. Pay tribute to those who labored in the vineyard before you got there. Please, pay tribute. We have water, electricity, housing. We have a hospital. We speak as though we don't have one. We have one that was built by the Cubans with the blood, sweat, and tears of the Cuban people. Pay tribute to that. But let's build a new one. Healthcare. Each generation has done its best. It's not easy. You will learn that when you come with your report at the end of the year. You would learn that it's not easy. Even for me, more recent history, those of us who made the revolution made an error in not paying tribute sufficiently to what Sir Eric Matthew Gerry did, but we pay tribute today because we have St. George's University, we have trade union recognition, we have land for the landless. We pay tribute to Sir Eric Matthew Gerry despite some of the issues we who made the revolution, we have had. Pay tribute to those who came before you. You see, history is not made by individuals. History is not made by individuals. That is one view of how history is made. History is made, as my dear sister said, by the workers, the farmers, the businessmen and women, the professionals. They are the ones who make history. So when you make a widespread condemnation, you are condemning the workers, the farmers, the people who came before, the peasants who came before, because they, we are not the ones who do the things that transform the society. We like to give ourselves the praise. You are not the ones who are going to do it, and we are not the ones who are going to who did it. It's the people who worked in the vineyard to develop this society. Let's pay tribute to them. When you make that widespread condemnation, you condemn the people. All are condemned. Yes, your season is here. Your season has come. But recognize that your season will also pass. And hopefully future generations will have some fruit from your season, and they will pay tribute to you. Because your season will also pass. It's an inevitable as the sun coming up tomorrow morning. So pay tribute, lest you be condemned by future generations. Our generation has harvested from the fruit planted by previous generations. There are things we must agree on. I have sat here for the last couple of days, and I've heard members on this side. You've heard them. I heard my sister yesterday. I heard my sister this morning. I heard my sister yesterday saying, we are prepared to work with you for the development of this country. What is the response I heard this morning? One side is good and one side is bad. How do we expect our people to come together when we here are characterizing and demonizing each other? I have been in the vineyard for 50 years. I have seen what this divisive politics does to our body politic and to the economy. Coming together is not a political tactic. It is a developmental imperative that we come together and agree on the things that we agree on. I'm going to speak on foreign affairs. And there's a lot we agree on. I'm sure the minister, I have utmost respect for the Minister of Foreign Affairs. I think he's a good man who means well. But I have some advice. And I hope you listen. And I hope you don't listen to everything I say as if I'm trying to undermine your program. Let us pay tribute and let us work together. I like the tone of bipartisanship that I heard from this side. I ask you, please, to receive it in the best interest of this country. The member who spoke before spoke about who is good and who is bad. Everybody inside here. In fact, I was on your side. I have won the town of St. George four times. Twice for the NDC and twice for the NNP. Here I am, trying to do my best. I mean, I didn't leave the NNP, you guys. Well, not you, but your party expelled me. I didn't go outside the castle and crying. I re-engaged to do what I do. To do what I've done for the last 50 years, from revolution to NDC to NNP, and wherever I go. So I'm saying to you, listen to us. Take on board what Sister Pierce said this morning. She said, build on what she did. Delma, Ms. Thomas, MP Thomas yesterday. My sister Clarice yesterday. But what do we get coming back? So you're saying, let us go to war. No, my brothers and sisters, let us talk about the budget and see how we can build this country. Let us do that. Yes, I know, I know. But you know, I've spoken this way for years, and it seems to me sometimes it falls on deaf ears. But those who don't listen will learn eventually. I have learned. My brother in foreign affairs, let me congratulate you on your appointment as foreign minister. It's a very important position. Some people believe that foreign minister just flies around the world, going and dine and wine and dine around the place. No, it's an extremely important position you hold. And it is one area, and I started on that, where I believe we need bipartisanship. In fact, I have proposed and had proposed that we have some bipartisan committee at the level of the parliament to talk about the foreign policy of our country, because to our multilateral and bilateral partners, there is no NNP foreign minister and NDC foreign minister. There's no NNP Grenada and NDC Grenada. There is Grenada. So my dear brother, I commend you. I commend your focus on Africa. The Prime Minister spoke about the new initiative on Africa. We had some initiatives on that. We spoke with Ghana, Kenya. You said that you're looking to establish an embassy. I want to suggest that the embassy of Morocco, in Morocco, an OECS embassy, be used as a foothold in Africa. It's the north of Africa. And we have excellent bilateral relationships with Morocco, that mission be used, at least initially, until we can do like the other Caribbean countries and establish maybe Nairobi or Ghana, in Accra. But I want to commend you on that. I want to also suggest that we tighten our relationship with Brazil. Brazil, under President Lula, established, I think it was about 25 embassies when he was in office. When Mr. Bolsonaro came in, he removed all of the embassies throughout the region. I want to suggest that we re-engage with President Lula in Brazil to ensure that we get as much cooperation as we can. Brazil is known for excellent agricultural production. There's an organization called Embrapa, which is a research organization. You can work with them for our agricultural, to our agricultural benefit. I also want to say, Mr. Speaker, through you to the Minister of Foreign Affairs, that, and I see we're on the right path to that, the issue of Venezuela. And again, this previous government was under immense pressure by many persons locally, regionally, internationally to not pursue the relations we had with Venezuela. We did not submit to the pressure. In fact, truth be known, if Grenada had submitted to that pressure, Venezuela would not be in the position it is in today with the ability to rebound. Now, the U.S. is looking for better relations with Venezuela because they need Venezuelan oil because of what's happening in Ukraine and Russia. We took the approach where we called for the Caribbean to remain a zone of peace and to ask those interfering to keep their hands off Venezuela. Many persons said, no, 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 we should not. We'll offend. Mr. Foreign Minister, our main principle throughout our foreign policy must be what is in the best interest of Grenada. Of course, there will be principles that we don't go beyond, but the fundamental principle is what is in the best interest of Grenada and, by extension, the Caribbean. So I urge you and I commend the fact that Venezuela is on the agenda. The ALBA, we became members of the ALBA. The ALBA is an excellent mechanism through which we get assistance. I urge you to pursue that. China. Excellent relationship. Again, I don't have to preach on that. I'm sure the government is going to pursue the One China policy. I've heard pronouncements. I know there were some people in your party some time ago who did not support the One China policy. I'm not seeing any indication that those who don't support the One China policy are in the ascendancy. Mr. Foreign Minister, I urge you to keep it that way. Because the relationship with the People's Republic of China is essential for the development of our country. Let us keep on the path of the One China principle. It has brought much benefit in housing and agriculture, in several areas. I do not need to speak about China and the benefits of China and Cuba. Cuba, United States, Canada. Cuba has been one of the most reliable allies we have in the region. The visit of the president was a good thing. I commend your side for the government for the bilateral arrangements, and I noticed you had the bilateral discussions we went over way over time. Good sign in discussions on cooperation. India, we forgot India. India is excellent in several respects, particularly ICT. In fact, some years ago, India had established an ICT arrangement with Grenada. You can go dig that up and see what we can do with that. You mentioned in your speech a mission in the Middle East. But we do have one in Dubai. Dubai is not a bad hub in which we can launch into the other areas of the Middle East, also, although politically there are some issues there. But I want to urge that you enhance maybe the Dubai arrangement and see if you can upgrade it from a consulate to an embassy. I support regionalism. I think we all support regionalism. Small island developing states have to come together to fight. I think the member for St. George's Northeast spoke about the challenges small island developing states have. And we do have challenges. Let us not make our people believe we have the resources of large countries. Small island developing states, and the Minister of Agriculture will come to realize that when I come to that, the challenge of land availability, you know? But we'll get to that, what small island developing states, the challenges we have. That is why we have to work regionally, to see how we can face the world together. So those are some broad comments I want to make on foreign affairs, except to add one element that is critical. Diaspora relations. It is essential that we do, I think it was in our about 2019, 8 that I coined the term diaspora being the 16th constituency. The member for St. David indicating that you're establishing an office called a group called the Grenada Diaspora Advisory Council. But that came out of an arrangement we had with the IMO. And again, build on what we have done. Do not chop down the fruit trees planted by the previous farmer. Please, they bear fruit. They bear fruit. Any farmer will tell you that. Maybe a Claire took cocoa tree, and he put up a nutmeg tree and a soursop tree, but he leaves some cocoa. Diversification. The point I'm making is do not cut down. I have become a little pessimistic about us working together after I heard some comments, but I'm sure the member for St. David would revive my optimism when he speaks at the end. Diaspora relations. We, in the previous government, established a relationship with the International Migration Organization, IMO. I want to thank them as a former foreign minister who made the arrangement for their support to Grenada. We had an agreement with them and they fulfilled the agreement. It included a mapping of our diaspora to make sure that we know what talent is available outside. We talk about capacity. My friend from the Ministry of Mobilization, Implementation, indicated that implementation is low. One of the main reasons for slow implementation is capacity. You will come to know that. I know my friend Lennox Andrews, who was in the Ministry of Finance for many years at a very high level, understands the lack of capacity. We can get capacity out of our diaspora, but to get it, we must know where it is. And that is why we work with the IMO, to map our diaspora so that we know where our diaspora community is and what capacity they have. Mr. Foreign Minister, I would urge you to look at that. Unfortunately, the office that we established in Grenada, the Office of Diaspora Affairs, was shut down 2 weeks after election. I don't know why. All I can say is I find it unfortunate. I find it unfortunate that the staff were sent home without a proper briefing as to where they were with their IMO arrangement and where they were with the diaspora. I believe that even if you believe, as my sister said, that it was sensitive politically, that the best thing to do is to take a briefing from them, debrief them before they leave. I find it unfortunate that there is no officers of diaspora affairs. And don't take this as a criticism that you want to launch an attack on. It's an observation that you may very well be able to explain if you can explain it. If you think I'm making a good criticism, then reestablish the Office of Diaspora Affairs. It is necessary both to deal with the diaspora and to deal with those people who have returned from the diaspora. Ambassador James, who was at the diaspora office, is known to be a professional. Decent guy. And he was doing an excellent job. So I want to pay tribute to all of the people who worked in the Office of Diaspora Affairs. Dr. Neville Ying, a consultant from Jamaica, Sir Michael Mitchell, the staff, other staff, Tricia Mitchell, who was the project manager, and those persons in the diaspora who we consulted with for years in order to do it. The diaspora is not a group of people who are just there to send remittances. They can do much more than that. The policy that was adopted, because there is a diaspora policy coming out of that arrangement, dust it off and read it. It gives us a roadmap as to how we engage the diaspora so that we can help them in the transformative process. I quote my brother, the member for St. David, when he said, "The success is dependent on the endorsement and support of all Grenadians at home and in the diaspora." So in order to get them on board, you need to engage them, and the Office of Diaspora Affairs is a good place to start. So, Mr. Speaker, with respect to foreign affairs, I want to say to my colleague that there are opportunities there. There are opportunities with our bilateral arrangements our multilateral arrangements, and I speak too about engagements with CELAC, engagements with CARICOM, engagements with the IALBA, engagements with the UN, that these engagements must be enhanced. And we on this side are prepared to work with you in those bilateral arrangements and those multilateral arrangements. We have established contacts and people in these places who know us. And diplomacy is a thing that is dependent on relationships. So we offer again, for what it's worth. I know my friend from CARIC who talk about that side is this and that side is that. Only one side I know, and it is called Grenada. I was hoping if my friend had supported constitutional reform, I could say Grenada, Carriacou, and Petit Martinique, but he did not want Carriacou to be on the name, so I have to call it Grenada. Maybe next constitutional reform process, he will support putting Carriacou on the name of Grenada so that Carriacou really feels a part of Grenada. So, my dear brothers and sisters, I move on. I move on to agriculture. Now, agriculture is not easy. I'm sure my friend from St. David, sitting at the back, the minister, will learn that very soon. Agriculture is easy. Let me just give you one statistic on agriculture that blew my mind. That Grenada has 78,000 acres of land. 78. That's all we have, 78,000. Carriacou has 8,500. And Petit Martinique has 575 acres. Of this amount, less than 10% of our land is flat. And less than 10% consists of crown lands. It means that government availability of land for agriculture is not as big as we think it is. And the government land consists of forest reserves, national parks, protected areas, government agricultural estates, cultural landmarks, etc., etc. So agriculture in Grenada has to be very focused. With respect to farm roads, and the member for St. Andrew Southwest, I do listen. I listen to you. You're a good teacher. And I didn't, not only yesterday, I listened to you about 7 or 8 months ago when you made some comments. Good comments. Don't think I'm coming to be critical. Don't start frowning. You said very publicly, that there were 4 things that concern you about agriculture. One is money for farmers, access to finance, land for the youth to do agriculture to get them off the blocks, your words, roads for access to the farms, and the need for a land use policy. And I agree with all. Those were the 4 things that you indicated that needs to be done. Yes, you, if you want me to roll the tape, I can roll the tape, but we'll do that privately. With respect to farm roads, I won't go into details, but this government spent millions and millions of dollars over the years to build farm roads and give access to farmers in this country. In 2021, $46.8 million was budgeted and more last year. So farm roads, a lot has been done. With respect to land and agriculture, I hope my friend is hearing. We launched what we call the Land Bank Project. The Land Bank Project. The Land Bank Project is a project where, it's a regional project, an OECS project. Grenada is the only country in the OECS who implemented the Land Bank Project. The first OECS country to do it. We put in, as a government, 105 acres into the land bank to make sure young people and farmers can get access to land. One of the things you indicated was necessary. We also invited private landowners because, like I said, 10% of the Grenada land belongs to the government. The other 90% is in private hands. And there's nothing you can do unless you want to go back to the good old days to take people land from them and put it into government land bank. You can't do that anymore, Mr. Andrews. So what do we have to do? We have to find a way to convince private farmers that the land will be safe. And they're very reluctant. Because as far as they're concerned, and my friend, we had discussions and that the member of St. David knows the difficulty of convincing a private landowner to put his land in the hands of somebody, and if he wants it to get it back, how does he get it back without all the problems of going to court? So the land bank was launched. 38 persons were trained in agribusiness. They were trained by GIDC, SIAP, and GDB. Because it was felt when we launched the land bank project, that it must not only be that you give people land and you turn around next year and the land is in bush. He trained them in business because it is agribusiness, I think is the term we should use more. That was done by this government. And I urge you to dust off the document, my friend from St. Andrews Southwest, and look at the land bank project and let us get it going. We need to know what has been done since, and I expected a report on how the land bank project is going, but it was not mentioned. The farm labor support, you needed to know about labor. This government in 2021 spent $2 million to get assist farmers with labor support, one of the biggest problems you will hear about in the industry. Talk to any farmer, and you'll be pleased to know that I consider myself among them. Mr. Andrews knows my portfolio. So we spent, and $2.5 million was budgeted in 2022. We need to know what is the status. You need to report to the parliament what is the status, what has been done with the farm labor support program. Of course, it needs improvement. We get whole heap of complaints. In fact, my colleagues in cabinet would be beating me up every week. Peter, we need to do this. It's not easy. It's not easy getting the farm labor support program going in a way that seems to be equitable. In addition to that, we need to improve it to the extent where the results of what they do. One of the problems we had is that you give a farmer support to cut down the land this year, and you go back next year and realize the land back up in bush. So it needs to be managed. People with good intentions find a way not being able to develop it. So we need to work on the farm labor support program and give a report as to where we are. I want to commend the extension division. People like Lawrence St. Louis, who headed it, and I will come to the issue you raised about leadership inside of the ministry, but they are good leaders and they are good workers. Work with them, you will find that. But we'll come to the issue in a few minutes. They have worked hell hard, despite all the odds. Agriculture is not easy in small island developing states. You will come to know that. But we work hard. So we have the Farm Labor Support Program. This government worked with the poor farmers, the middle farmers, even the wealthier farmers to ensure that labor, a big issue. If you speak to farmers, they will tell you labor is a big issue. Look at that and report to us on that as a parliament and to the people as to what you're doing there. We talk about the land policy. That was the next thing you spoke about, my dear friend, land policy. So we spoke about the land for the youth. I'll come to finance it in a minute. We spoke about the roads. Let's talk about the land policy. If you look in your papers in cabinet, which I'm sure is easy to find, you will see that a national land use policy was approved in 2021. That was one of the issues you raised. We need a land use policy. We need to know, we have here for manufacturing, this place for agriculture, this place for housing. When I left and demitted that office, the legislation was being drafted. We employed a draftsman to draft the legislation in support of the land use and land policy. We need to work on our land policy. We only have 78,000 acres on mainland Grenada. How we manage it? So if you know, lots of people go build. This is another issue we had in our cabinet. People buy agricultural land and just build a big house on it. And you find that there is a covenant in the deed which says you cannot use it for residential purposes, but we do it. And slowly but surely, we are reducing the quantity of land that is available for agriculture. So yes, this government has done an enormous amount of work with respect to ensuring that we have the word you use, transformation in agriculture. It is not a new word. It is something that all previous governments have been doing. It is like saying that we spent zero money on the creative industry. That is not true. We didn't call it the creative industry. So it's a matter of semantics. Carnival, all of those things are creative industries. I am not condemning. I am merely pointing out to you. If your history is deficient, what has been done? That is all I'm doing. I'm teaching like my brother did yesterday. My brother Lennox Andrews. He's a born teacher. Yesterday evening, somebody told me they love to go to your classes because you teach well. You did teach me yesterday. But in any event, we went to actual school together, so I'm not surprised. With financing, again, the fourth issue you raised, my brother, Minister of Agriculture, you and the senior minister and the junior minister are both in my sight. Issue of financing, GDP. Government has made arrangements and were involved in deep conversations with GDB to make financing available to farmers. GDB, when we approached them, they said to us in response that agricultural loans was the most underperforming portfolio at the GDB. We need to address that. We need to find a mechanism where monies can be given to farmers in a way that ensures it is repaid in ways and on terms that is acceptable and possible. It is difficult because we are talking about developing agribusiness. Traditionally, farmers and farm workers didn't see themselves as businessmen. They must be seen as businessmen, and that is what we were trying to transform the sector into. And we have built a foundation. Do not chop down all the trees that the previous farmers planted. Plant your own seeds. Hopefully, future generations eat some fruit from your trees. With respect to livestock, work was done with that, and I don't want to spend much time, but the Laura facility. Go visit the Laura facility. Go visit it. You will see the work that was done within the last year and a half. Go visit the Laura farm, and work was done. It was not completed. But do not ever question our intent. As my dear sister said so eloquently, we are but human beings, laboring for the same purpose. Do not demonize anyone, lest you demonize yourselves. Agricom, we talked about agroprocessors. But yes, a lot of work was done. My dear friend talked about the person he met in London. Or the what was it? Sorrel or something like that? Guava cheese. Japan. Well, go around Grenada. Go around the world. There's a whole heap of them. It didn't happen by magic. Talk about the Agricom project that finances young and upcoming agroprocessors. We have this view that agro-industry should be a big plant. No, it doesn't always have to be there. You remember reading a book as a youth called Small is Beautiful, about agriculture in small island developing states. There are a whole heap of agroprocessors involved in many things. They're involved in coconut water. Look at the coconut water industry. Are you not recognizing that? Look at the CMOS, a new thing that is happening. But it was done with the assistance of financing from mechanisms set up by this government. Don't condemn that. Morbi, the chocolate factory, my dear brother, the GCA and GCNA, one of the most amazing experiences I had is going to my first meeting. The Minister of Agriculture currently was there. The Minister from St. David. And they have done an enormous amount of work. And when I hear the amount of money you're all making up in that chocolate factory in Victoria, Mr. Speaker, I was amazed. But you know that, because I was given a lovely basket of all the things that were being done as agro industry in this country. Agro industry is not a big factory. It is the transformation of raw materials into a finished product. And it is being done. So do not for one second, why is no one saying these things are happening? But I have to say it is happening and you have to condemn what happened. That is not how transformation takes place. And let me address that. We will never be transformed if we don't come together. We will never achieve the transformation you are speaking about until we come together. Because when you build, I will tear down. And when I build, you will tear down. When you get into office, you fire everybody that's working for me. And when I get into office, I fire everybody working for you. Is that transformation? My dear brother, government estates. I'm sure my friend, the minister from St. David, visited Granbury Estate. I'm sure the members, the people in the ministry would have taken you there. And I'm sure you've seen the transformation there. We have put in Granbury, we spent $500,000 in 2021 2022 in order to transform Granbury. The government made an attempt to commercialize, with very good intentions, to commercialize Granbury, Bellevue in the first instance. Granbury didn't work out. We decided 2 years ago to place Granbury back into the hands of the state, and we spent $500,000 to transform it. 39 acres was put back into production. Take a drive to Granbury. I know my brother from the south loves to drive around the country. Go to Granbury. You'll see for yourself. Go to Mount Rule. You'll see for yourself. No agriculture. My brother. I want to make a recommendation to my dear brother, Minister of Agriculture. Engage the private sector person on Bellevue and see if we can get that going. That turned out to be a difficulty that I accept, and we need to transform it and bring it back. Either get them to do what they promised to do or get it back into government hands. There is a 10-year plan for Granbury. Dust it off. Look at it. Don't cut down that tree. Don't cut it down. GCA, GCNA. My first encounter with the Speaker of the House was in meetings on GCA, GCNA. Nobody will doubt that we need to find ways to merge GCA and GCNA. It is a hot topic that everybody is afraid to touch. But it has to be done for the economic benefit of the farmers and the associations themselves. And we must not use the issue of commercialization and liberalization in order to confuse the issues. They are two separate issues. Merger is necessary, in my view. And I think we've got a long way to getting it done. I think there was a commitment. If you dust off the files in your office, Minister of Agriculture, you will see that there was a commitment on the part of GCA and GCNA to pursue the merger. And not to forget, the millions of dollars that the government spend supporting these organizations over the years. Government must be given credit for that. That is agriculture. So when we speak of agriculture, as the member said yesterday, give us a couple of claps for me when we do some good. Please. The chocolate factory and the other things done. I had a wonderful time with GCA and GCNA. My brother, the clerk, also a serious farmer, Andrew Augustine, a good farmer, who has also taught me a lot about the sector. You know, that was the best time of my ministerial career, but we'll come back to that at another time. Agronomy. We need to do more research. We need to do more research in new products, new crops. You see how soursop came up? Out of nowhere, soursop came up and became our green gold. We need to find new crops. There is a gentleman from St. Andrew, don't want to call his name here, I didn't get permission from him, who has a proposal in your ministry to lease some land in order to do new crops like leeches, crops that we have access to. And a critical thing that you didn't observe, why you think soursop is so important to us? Because the hardworking people in the Ministry of Agriculture were able to get access to the U.S. market. Grenada is the only country in this part of the world that the fruit, the soursop fruit, can go into the U.S. That was not done by magic. I sure prayer helped, but prayer was not the only thing that got it done. It is hard work of the government and hard work of the people inside of the Ministry of Agriculture. Give credit there. We must do more to find new crops. And that is a thing Brazil can help you with. You know, Brazil is known for soybeans. Soybeans was not indigenous. But when the Brazilians looked at their soil, they realized that, listen, there's a crop that people need. There's a crop that our soil can do. They plant soybeans. Today, they're one of the largest exporters, if not the largest exporters of soybeans. So we need to do research. Research is going to be a critical area of our agricultural development. And you know what? Maybe the foreign minister is sitting next to the Minister of Agriculture. We had bilateral discussions. While I was Minister of Agriculture, I decided to use my foreign policy experience to talk to India, Guyana. Guyana has promised us, and I'm asking you to take some notes. I know you're a teacher. Guyana has promised us several scholarships to train our extension workers. Years ago, Guyana was a hub. The Minister of Foreign Affairs could look into that for you to see where that is, but we had an agreement just months before the elections. We have agreements with Venezuela, at least none written, to provide urea, which is a fertilizer coming out of petroleum. We have the old agreement signed in 2010 with the Kingdom of Morocco, where they do training and gave us fertilizer every 2 or 3 years. We get fertilizer from the Kingdom of Morocco. I signed that agreement. We have arrangements with China to give us all, every 3 years we have a phase of our agricultural program cooperation with China. I am happy to say that in this arrangement coming up, in the 8th phase that I'm sure you had discussions on, a new tissue culture lab is in that phase. That tissue culture lab will help Maribo to develop plants, planting material. But Mr. Speaker, in my last address to the Parliament, in speaking about Maribo, I proffered the idea that Maribo should become the center of agriculture in the country. Look back at my budget address last year. That we should have the research labs up there. The Minister of Agriculture should have an office in Maribo. Maribo is the hub of should be the hub of agriculture in this country. People, the comrades from St. Andrew, they know what that would mean. And that will not only mean that Maribo is doing agriculture, it will mean that all of the infrastructure that is built in that area will benefit the people of the area. So when somebody comes to do a cooperation agreement, they don't go to Grandans. Grandans is the hub of the tourist sector. They don't go to Tantine. That's the city. They go to Maribo, and they will have to find accommodation to live in Maribo. They will have to have restaurants to go to in the area. Maribo should become the hub. It is a beautiful site with lots of land for this. And just to say this, we've done nothing. Visit Ashanden. Visit Maribo. Visit Maran. See the work that was done with millions of dollars over the last year. Don't tell me we did nothing. Say, we did some, you will do more. Look at Mashanden. Look at Maribo. New offices, new facilities. No mention of that. It was done in 2022 and 2021. Another proposal I have, and we were working on, member for St. Andrew Southwest, is the establishment of the farm machinery program. Mr. Speaker, how much time do I have to my regular time? I'm not asking for the extension now.
You have 10 minutes.
10?
Yes.
Time goes fast when you're enjoying what you're doing, Mr. Speaker. The farm machinery program, I think we should bring it back. That's just my proposal. And the reason is, and the member is an economist. He does developmental economics. There are some things in small island states that the state must do. I think my opposition leader in the earlier times of government decided, using the private sector principles that were applicable, decided to remove the farm machinery assistance program, where government will have a pool of machinery, and that machinery would be used to help the farmers. I think the thinking was that the private sector would do it, but the private sector cannot do it, simply because the cost of the overheads way exceed the income they will receive from small farmers. The agriculture everywhere in the world is subsidized. We have to accept that we have to subsidize agriculture. There is no way around that. Not in Grenada, not in Europe, not in the United States, nowhere. Agriculture. So I believe farm machinery is a way we can subsidize our farmers. Mr. Speaker, with respect to honey exports, when I left the ministry, prior to leaving, I know we underwent a successful risk assessment. You know, Trinidad has been blocking honey from Grenada for years. And no matter how much we check them, Mr. Rowley and previous governments, they are not allowing honey into Trinidad. We did a successful CAFSA risk assessment, and that should allow our honey to get in to Trinidad. So, Mr. Speaker, we've been doing a lot. Mr. Speaker, one issue I haven't heard any conversation about is this cannabis business. I know on the campaign a big promise to the youth was that I'm going to legalize weed. I hear nobody mention it since. I don't know if it's been a change of policy, but if there's a change of policy, announce it now. Before we leave today, you can announce it. We, in the previous government, had legislation to deal with the issue of the criminalization of a large amount of our youth. Our approach was in keeping with the Caribbean Commission and what other Eastern Caribbean states have done. They have said there are two aspects. There's the commercialization, which St. Vincent will tell you is very difficult, and there is the issue of criminalization, meaning there are lots of young people going into court for a joint, they're getting convicted for a joint, and they're getting thrown out of school, beat SU, they can't get a visa to go on travel. We said, and we had consultations with the churches, with the police, with the Rastafarian community, everybody. And we drafted the legislation. I'm sure we could obtain a copy of the legislation from my friend, the clerk. You can have a look at it. You don't have to rip it up just because we do it. We don't have to do like Nancy Pelosi and rip up the speech. Take it and work on it. But don't have our young people criminalized to the point where they have to wait 3 years for you to decide legalization. Legalization is difficult. It will take more time. Tell the people the truth. It is not easy. You have to deal with the reforms in your banking sector. When you go to the bank with money, it is a difficult thing. St. Vincent has not even decriminalized. So don't give the youth the hope that you're going to legalize. Tell them the truth. You're going to decriminalize, and then we will just discuss legalization and commercialization for medicinal purposes and so on down the road. Ask St. Vincent. We set up a group with St. Vincent to discuss it. But again, you come in and you chop down that tree that we planted. It could bear fruit for you. Not our fruit. Grenada's fruit. Your fruit or our fruit is Grenada's fruit. So let us be honest. Tell us something about where you're going with that. Are you going to do what you said on the political platform? Legalize? Or have you realized that we were right? If you're nothing wrong, if you're right, you know, somebody had to be right. I have to move on quickly. The issue of COVID-19, I just want to pay tribute. I want to use the opportunity. Everybody has spoken about COVID-19 like if it's in the past. COVID-19 is still present. Still present. Let's be alert. It can just come back in a minute. You remember how the last one catches like Ivan? But I want to pay tribute to a group of people. The workers. The nurses. The doctors, the people who worked in sanitizing, a whole heap of people. My friend knows them more than I do. And members of the committee that dealt with it. That committee met every single day, Monday to Monday, during COVID. I want to recognize a man, Dr. Bird Braffitt. You know Dr. Bird Braffitt, very early Very early when they're talking about this thing in China, he said, Peter, don't come Grenada, and you end up in a pandemic. At the time, it was just started as an epidemic, and Dr. Braffitt warned us. I want to pay tribute to Dr. Braffitt and all of the persons who helped us to manage COVID-19 here this evening. Something that all of us should celebrate, brothers and sisters. That is not a partisan thing. COVID-19 didn't ask you if it's an NMP or NDC before it take you. So let us all thank the guys and girls and ladies and gentlemen who kept us safe during COVID-19. And to Dr. Braffitt, I give special honor because he, as a doctor, was the earliest person who warned us. I want to also talk quickly about the Citizenship by Investment Program. The Citizenship by Investment Program is an important program. You know, when it just came out, again, this government gets real blows for it. I thought all that corona tree didn't come in, you know. I thought it was a fruit tree that you all didn't like the fruit. Because everybody costs, they're selling passport. All of a sudden, I look at your budget and I see how much millions coming from the CBI program that everybody condemned this government for. Accept that you made an error in your judgment about the CBI program. Let me tell you why. The CBI program is one of the results of lack of resources in small island developing states. My brother, Lennox, you know that. It is not Grenada doing it alone. It's all over the world. Portugal, you know, Greece, everywhere you go, there's CBI programs. Why? Because it is a way of raising funds for small island developing states. Here's one thing I would say about the CBI, and I've said this to to the opposition leader when he was prime minister, and I say it here again. We should use the funds of CBI in sectors like the agricultural sector. We spoke about the library. I have advocated and recommended that the library be one of the recipients. In fact, I brought somebody to visit York House to see if we could do it as a CBI project, because I believe York House should be the place for our library and archives. Because you don't want to just build a library, you want to build archives. So all our history can be researched there. All the material we have in the fort that was brought back from 1983. And then we have a place downstairs of the York House so that we can display our artists. Part of what you call these days your creative industry. Everything cannot be done at the same time, but you can build on what we started. So we started CBI. You use the money in order to do these things too, along with us. So don't cut down that tree. It bears fruit for you and for us and for this country. So I want to urge you to approach CBI in a way that helps with your agenda and Grenada's agenda. Remember, we are in this room as a parliament. I don't see any green or yellow anywhere in the front of us. Let us work together on the things we can work together. Let us disagree on the things we disagree on. I'm sure among yourselves you disagree on issues. Could pretend to be nice and fancy outside there and all together, but you disagree, and so you should. That's how we develop. And another issue, constitution reform, I hope we could get back to that someday. It was wrongly, soundly rejected by you, despite the fact that during the campaign you were calling for everything that was in the constitution reform package, fixed date for elections, reform of the electoral process, electoral commission. All of those things were in there, calling for Carrioco to become part of the name of the country. I know we don't stop saying Grenada, Carrioco, and Petit Martinique in violation of what you said during the constitutional reform process. They don't want it that way, but you keep saying it. Well, I said Grenada, Carrioco, and Petit Martinique should be the name of Grenada if you accepted the constitutional reform. I say it, if you don't want to say it. So I urge you to let us start the discussion, because you know what? The British gave us a nice trick. They gave us a very divisive political system, and they gave us a mechanism to change it that it will never change because of the divisive system. Let us not fall into that trap. Comrades, I'm just making my recommendations. The other issue, Mr. Speaker, I just want to mention briefly, labor. I want to say, and I don't have enough time to go through all of it, but if the Minister of Labor, you can advise, goes into the documents I was sent to cabinet and the offices upstairs. You will see a document where there was a comprehensive report on what we believe should be done. Much was done over the years. I don't want to go through it now. I don't have enough time. But certainly, I was very proud to be a Labour minister who worked to mediate and who worked to ensure that persons can go to Canada to do farm labour, that persons can go work on ships. That is my five-minute warning. Huh? But you normally give a five-minute. No, I requested to know when I'm ending, but you also have to warn me as to when I'm ending.
No, you say request now.
No, no, no. I thought this was my warning, and my friend the clerk would say that we normally get a warning that we're about to done.
No, I indicated yesterday that there is no warning bell.
Oh, right? You don't got a warning?
No, no. I indicated that yesterday.
Put them, suppose I can't get more time.
Honorable, I just indicated to you, I gave you how far you were. I said 10 minutes. Remember?
Yeah, 10 minutes away. The clock, I'm listening to you. But anyway, go ahead, Mr. Speaker.
All right, so if you may request a little more time, you may do it now.
Request 15 minutes, Mr. Speaker.
No. I can award you 8 minutes maximum more. So because I need to keep it tight because of the program today. Even though this honorable MP, no other presenter got those 15 minutes. I'm trying to keep it tight. So 8 minutes is extended to you.
I don't have a problem. Why are you intervening in that? Let me and the speaker talking. Mr. Speaker, please tell your colleagues.
8 minutes, Honorable MP. Please proceed. 8 minutes.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, but one of the issues in the Ministry of Labour I'm concerned about is some unfair dismissals that has come to my attention, not as a politician, but as a lawyer. So when I stay here today, that particularly in Kariakou, that many persons were dismissed unfairly. I'm not using political language. I'm using language that I spent a lot of years in law school to learn. And I'm saying this because it happened. I don't want to call the names. I have the names here. I can show it to them when they want it, but I won't disrespect people by calling the names. But all of these workers in Kariakou that were dismissed, you know it. You know it unfairly. I know the member for Kariakou who said the PS was making things lighter for him. I don't know if he meant that he was getting rid of some of the workers so the place become lighter, but that is exactly what happened. And everybody knows it. The PS made the place lighter for him, his words, by firing a set of people in the office. That is a fact. And I'm saying that my sister here spoke about the brigades, my other sister spoke about it, this sister, it is something that has happened. And as a Labour minister, and as my friend, the clerk knows, a friend of Labour marched these streets for over 20 years with the trade unions. I don't take lightly the unfair treatment of workers. Everybody listening to me knows that. That I, my dear brother, redhead, his father was a big trade unionist. That is why I'm surprised that he will not rise in defense of the workers. Father was a big Tauman who fought in GBN. I expected him to stand and support me, but I understand how the thing goes, Mr. Speaker. But I'm saying, in all seriousness, please, please, as the member for St. Andrew Southeast said, these are poor people. These are people who you can keep on. As she said, and I endorse what she said, you have a big budget. You said the treasury was full, so just employ your people and leave the people who are there. You could take all of them, given the budget that you have. So I urge the members to look at it and do not ever believe this is we time now. As I said when I started, your season will end. Your season will end. Between now and the end of your season, do good by our people, so that they will eat of the fruit that you have planted rather than look back at your tenure as doing wrong. Just giving some advice. And what was worse is when the Minister of Labour intervenes and makes comment about whether or not this was right or wrong, the minister's role is a mediator. By making that comment, you disqualify yourself. You notice in all the labour disputes, I never commented because I know they will come to me. And I have to, as much as possible, give my position, be fair. And when your labor minister intervenes to say that these people are wrong, how can I then go to as adjudicator? You know, we had a case dismissed last week in the High Court because one of the jurors said something that indicated bias. A case that went on for a month was dismissed for a retrial. An adjudicator has to stay out of the fight. My brother Ron knows that. I expect him to pound the table when I say it. His father was a champion trade unionist, good friend of mine. And I expect him, you know, we heard rumors that he was going to be labor minister, but he didn't work out, but to our disappointment, but we're good. So, Mr. Speaker, I urge the other side to put a muzzle on those who would speak in a way that affects the rights of poor workers in this country. Mr. Speaker, just a minute on the constituency. I want to say that I want to endorse what my sister said about people, brigades and all of them being sent home. That's a fact. Don't tell me it didn't happen because I could have bring the people and put all of them stand up outside. They were sent home because they were not your supporters. Period. And your supporters were put in. I'm not saying you don't have to do it, but you have enough money to employ yours and those who were there. You say the treasury was full of money. Don't send home one set up of people and feel you can compensate by bringing in an exit. So we continue on the same path. Is that transformative? Maybe it is, because my friend made everything transformative a while ago. Anyway, I want to thank the people of Thomas St. George. I've represented them. This is my fourth term. Twice for the NDC, twice for the NMP. And a lot has been done. Housing assistance, the river mitigation project. Talk about things. I'm going to pop the table. Done by the NDC, that river mitigation project, it big. Give me a pump table for that, it big. Yes, find a way to criticize it. Well, on the campaign, you all said you all got chopped down the wall, so I didn't see the wall come down yet. They said it was too big. I have the tape. We have the Chinese housing project. Thanks to the People's Republic of China, we have a housing project. The toilet and bath program, you talk about giving people dignity. You talk about dignity. Dignity is not building a big building. It's giving poor people a way to carry on the household obligations in dignity. You should give the government a pound table for the toilet and bath program. The Empower program for the youth. You know, when youth have been trained in stuff because of the Empower program in the town of St. George? The roads. You talk about Kalata Road, Mitchell's Lane, Mount Rush, River Road, Main Road, roads in Dabo, the Tantin Road Project, all of them. Based on your analysis, my friend from Kaku, the town of St. George has already been transformed. Your word, because you bought a truck and you said the place transformed, it's transformation. So we built all these roads, and we could tell me it's not transformation. It's transformation. The new wing of the hospital. What about the new wing of the hospital? Here's what I beg of the new wing of the hospital. The new wing of the hospital should be named the Winston Thomas Unit. The Winston Thomas Unit. My brother, Lennox, I know you're going to support me on that. There is a cabinet conclusion on that. If you are going to reverse the cabinet decision to name, Dr. Thomas was the one Cuban doctor who was always in the emergency unit. I used to call him at 3 a.m. to help people, and he came out, please. Go back to the conclusion and let us have that implemented, or else the people of the town of St. George will not be too happy. Brothers and sisters, the National Stadium. I didn't hear you call all these projects the National Stadium. It has transformed economic activity in the River Road area. I know you want to stop the shores, my dear brother, but the shores have brought a whole heap of money to the people of River Road when they have them. Please don't stop the shores. They do well for the people of the community. The River Road people will not allow you to drive through the alleyway home every evening as you normally do. Please, work with me on that one. Don't stop the shows. So, brothers and sisters, please, I know about the enthusiasm when you get into office. I know that you want to transform and change everything quickly. I know you think, and we've been taught to believe by the British system that we must fight each other. That is the way we were taught. I am sure when we stop here, we both can go and sit and talk. But we can't show the people we're talking. Why can't we show the people that we work together to build this country? Why do we have to put up a front here that we're fighting each other, and when we go in the back, we sit in and have a drink? Let us do it here. I reiterate, Mr. Speaker, one sentence. I reiterate the offer of this side. made through all of the presentations that we are prepared to work with you to achieve Grenada's objective, but do not believe that we will not criticize you on the way forward, because that is the way it works. That is the way of democracy. We lend our support to the achievement of your agenda, because your season is now, but your season will come to an end, and we would have all benefited from your season, as we have benefited from the season of the generations who came before us. Thank you. May God bless you. I wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and do have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, but Happy Christmas. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you to Honorable MP for the town of St. George for your typical presentation. And now we move to the MP for the constituency of St. John, Honorable Kieran James.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A pleasant afternoon to all the members of this Honorable House, and let me say a special afternoon to all of our members of the Royal Grenada Police Force. It is good to see you here. I am seeing some very familiar faces, and we are happy that you are joining us here this afternoon. Those who are watching via television and on the various social media platforms, a special good afternoon.